long reading. The Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC and deported tens of thousands of Jews to locations throughout the Assyrian Empire, depopulating the area to destroy their cultural identity. For those who were deported, they are known as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. No trace of them remains. The few remaining Jews intermarried with foreign settlers deported from other lands to form the people of Samaria. Initially, many beliefs and gods contended for allegiance, but ultimately, the God of the Bible won the Samaritan hearts and minds. But Samaritans accepted only the Pentateuch. They rejected the prophets and the writings, and with that, they rejected Jerusalem's temple worship. But they did believe in the promise of a Messiah. Judaism held the prophets and the writings as essential, with the temple as their center of worship. They too believed a Messiah would come. Samaritan and Jewish beliefs were similar, but different enough to cause a hostility and animosity between them. Can you imagine a situation where two or more groups who hold largely the same beliefs but cannot be in communion? This is a rhetorical question. Before we dive in, first we can observe from this story of the Samaritan woman at the well and others in the gospel that it is central to Jesus' work to break down barriers to relationship with him. This includes women, even those women who were social outcasts, women that would not be welcome in much of their society and excluded in general. Jesus shattered the convention that single men, especially a rabbi, would never speak to any woman at any time. Finally, he's a Jew talking to a Samaritan. But let's get to the story of the woman at the well from John's Gospel. Women were responsible to collect water. They would gather early or late in the day at the well to avoid the heat of the day and to be together, as Michelle talked about. Jesus was tired and was sitting by the well in the midday, resting and waiting. On the face of it, there would be no one for Jesus to wait for other than the disciples who he had sent for food. But then a tired Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. She came in the heat of the day to avoid stares and whispered comments of the other women in the village. Jesus was sitting by the well, so there was no way to avoid him if she were to draw water. She was no doubt dismayed. Anyone would know that she came midday because she was an outcast from her community. He was a man, and he would certainly not speak with her. In fact, no one speaks to her. The man she lived with would likely not have the slightest interest in anything she would have to say. So she was startled when Jesus did speak to her. Who was this woman? We don't even have her name. John simply refers to her as a woman of Samaria. In the Orthodox tradition, a tradition known to give names to those unnamed in the Bible, she's referred to as Fotini. She is also known as Saint Fotina, which means the enlightened one. Tradition has it that she was baptized by the apostles after her encounter with Jesus. And she was also venerated as a martyr. In the Russian Orthodox Church, she is Svetlana, which is Russian for light bearer or light. And she is celebrated as equal to the apostles, Svetlana, the first evangelist. Here in Holy Innocence, we may have begun yet another tradition. I was at a ladies' Bible study, At the end, it was mentioned that next we'll be reading about the Samaritan woman, and we got into discussing how she isn't named. We were kidding around about what her name could have been. One other woman said her name must have been Mary because there were so many Marys in the Bible. I answered, yes, after all, she's a Samaritan. I digress. Jesus did speak to her, this unnamed woman. In fact, it is the longest recorded conversation anyone has with Jesus. Why? With a woman? Let's listen in. Jesus asked for a drink of water. She's surprised. Who is this that asks? She thinks. He answers, if you knew who I am, you would be asking me for living water. She's confused, but she's intrigued. Where is the living water coming from? She thinks to herself. I must have water, but it is so hot and the buckets are so heavy. I do want this living water. Hopefully, she asks, may I have this water? Jesus responds with a request that pained her to hear. Go get your husband and return with him to me. With that, her heart sunk, for she had been rejected many times before, and she knew the feeling well. She had been cast aside 5 times. She thinks, I should know better. She wonders how to respond to Jesus. Then something within her prompts her to tell the truth. She tells Jesus she has no husband. They live in a society where a woman without a husband and a father has very few options. They both know that. He knows the heartache and rejection that she carries. Jesus responds, woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you, let me repeat this word, you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. Jesus is making her a promise. She wonders how this man can know her shame and her aching loneliness. What does he want with me? After all, I am a Samaritan, and he is a Jew. I'm an outcast among my own people. How can he make such a promise? Who is he? He must be a prophet. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. She has hope that the Messiah will bring her isolation and her shame to an end. She still does not know who Jesus is. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. After that, we do not know the words they exchanged, but we do know her life was an open book and that Jesus spoke healing into it. Her eyes were opened, a weight was lifted, and her shame dropped away. She was transformed. She had received grace. The disciples had been away getting food, and upon their return, they came upon Jesus and the Samaritan woman in conversation. They were surprised. Why ever would Jesus have a conversation with a Samaritan, especially a woman? Suddenly, she leaves without her water jar and returns to the city. The disciples put aside their surprise. Who could tell what Jesus might do next? They certainly could not. They urged Jesus to take some food. After all, he had sent them out to find food. But Jesus would have none of that. He had work to do. The Father had prepared this woman and the people in this city with the hope of a Messiah. With that hope, God was planting the seeds that these Samaritans might receive the gospel. Jesus waits. In the city, all those who knew her noticed she was changed. "What has happened to you?" they ask. She responds, "I have met the most amazing man." Then she invites them to see for themselves, saying, "He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" At that time, men did not speak to women about things of God. They would have thought, what can she know? But the hope within them led them to Jesus, who was waiting at the well. Jesus then stayed and taught for 2 days, and many believed. As many believed, they were saved by his grace. Okay, it reminds me of a joke. I was reading the other day about a man who thought he would indulge himself by going to the barber shop and to have a haircut and shave. The barber was a preacher, and he had been called out, so his wife, Grace, said she would give him a haircut and a shave in her husband's absence. He paid for the service, and the next day looked in the mirror, and he saw that he didn't need a shave that day. The same was true for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 days. No need to shave. He went back to the barber and asked why he didn't need to shave. The barber, the preacher, said, "You were shaved by grace. Once shaved, always shaved." Okay. Back to the sermon. So what had the Samaritan woman done? She had evangelized. How had she done it? She shared her story. She is now remembered as the very first evangelist. This is the reason for her veneration as the light bearer. What had Jesus done? Jesus had planted a church in that city. That woman was now in a community that worshiped in spirit and truth. She no longer lived in isolation, but as a full member of that earliest of churches. She had received living water. Jesus' words had come true. The Father's preparing hearts today in Valrico, and the harvest is ripe. There are people longing to encounter God. God has prepared their hearts. Let's take a moment for each of us to reflect on our encounters with Christ. It might have been at Curcio. It might have been a sermon that spoke into your heart. It might have been an encounter with the Holy Spirit during a crisis in your life. It might have been ministry to another. It might have been a Bible verse. It might have been a conversation. It might have been some or all of these. Or maybe your encounter was something else altogether. Each of us has a short story to tell. It's a story we need to share. If God has prepared the listener's heart, your story is all God asks of you. He will do the rest. He is waiting. But it's not only important to tell our story for others, but it's important for ourselves. It reminds us of the grace that we have received. It reminds us to be expectant because our story is not yet complete. So let our conversations be full of stories of those times when God has touched us, because he has and he will. Your story will continue. It's your story. But it's all our stories, a story of grace offered and received, the joy of a life redeemed, full of overflowing. We sing at Christmas, "Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." And throughout the year, we sing hymns like this one from Charles Wesley. "Ye servants of God, your master proclaim, and publish abroad his wonderful name, the name all victorious of Jesus extol. His kingdom is glorious, he rules over all. So let's sing with joy for the grace we have received. Let us sing with the thankfulness we have for a God so wonderful, our response can be nothing other than awe. We're blessed with scripture and with hymns that proclaim the goodness of God. So too, let us pray that when we share our stories, those stories proclaim his awesomeness. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well is dramatic. It is the story of a life transformed. It's a story of a woman whose heart was prepared by God for an encounter with Christ. If you reflect on your own life, is your story any less dramatic? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Oh, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he perhaps be the Messiah? Amen.